Welcome to episode 194 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live September 4th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss recent news or topics and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott dive more into Microsoft Lists now that they've been recently GA'd, both from the Microsoft List point of view as well as from the app in Microsoft Teams. So, let's dive in and talk Microsoft Lists. All of the buttons have been hit.
Excellent. I'm glad we figured that out once again.
And hopefully our video recording this time will put us back side by side instead of flipping back and forth like last week.
I'm going to yell at my producer.
You should. He's using a new camera too because the camera wiggling on his desk annoyed him. But I don't know that I like this view. I feel like I'm kind of looking up my nose.
Well, I mean, you're a vlogger now, right?
I'm a vlogger.
And that was the whole point of... What is that thing? It's the Sony ZV...
ZV. Sony ZV-1.
Yes. You are a vlogger. I'm a vlogger. Now. That's the vlogger camera.
Yes. We've actually been doing a lot on YouTube. I have another friend of mine that's been doing some YouTube videos too on my channel. And it's interesting because he comes with a different perspective. So he's in the... He's in a completely different industry than us, but uses Microsoft 365. So he's been doing like more end user type videos that we've been putting on the IntelliJink YouTube channel. So if you're looking for like some Word, Excel, and he's still a bit of a technology guy too. So he's been playing around with Power Apps, but doing a little bit more beginner videos. I've been doing a bunch more Teams videos, but we've been putting like two or three videos up a week on YouTube lately.
You need to get a custom channel slug is what you need to do there.
I have it already. It's /IntelliJink. So it's YouTube/IntelliJink.
You don't get it navigating just through the YouTube directory.
And I don't know why. Because if I go into all my settings, it is set to be my custom URL. But going through the directory doesn't get it. Maybe if I undo it and redo it, I don't know. I blame YouTube. But yes, as a result,
as you should.
I got tired of using webcams. And for a while, I was using my iPhone for video. And I finally splurged and bought the Sony ZV-1. And I figured I'd try it for today too. I have a bit of a goofy setup because I'm actually... Naturally, they released their webcam software for it, for Windows, but not for Mac. So I have to go out of the HDMI out, and I have one of the Blackmagic ATEM Mini HDMI switches. So it goes HDMI out into the Blackmagic ATEM Mini, and then it shows up, like that device shows up as a webcam. So I can pick any one of my four HDMI inputs as my webcam, and my camera is one of them. So that is what I'm doing. But then it's always like, where do you position the camera, right? Because I could put it over there or I could try to put it up here. But if it's, yeah.
Well, the next step is you get the mount that can come right over your monitor and then come down right dead center in the monitor. So it's actually going to be sitting in front of content on your screen, but you would be looking directly into it, like into the souls of your audience.
And it's small enough. I could probably get away with that, or I could just like set this tripod up so that, because I have a little mini desk tripod that I could set up so it's right in front of the monitor. That would work too. But then I couldn't see your beautiful face on my monitor, Scott.
Oh, sure you could. You could find a way.
Although I'm not looking at my monitor right now, I'm looking at the camera. That's the weirdest thing with all the webcams and everything is always like not looking at everybody else, but trying to keep looking at the camera.
Yeah, I keep trying to adjust my setup. Like, can I pull mine over further or move the camera over? You know, what that looks like and where it comes out in the middle.
Or we just need to...
The struggle is real.
Or we just need to use Teams for everything. Go get ourselves some Surface devices and use the eye fixing feature that we talked about.
Is that what's next? The Surface Duo?
No, not the Duo. Didn't we talk about this last week? Or 2 weeks ago?
Well, I didn't know if you had broken down an order.
No, I have not. It's interesting to see the feedback on it. It has gotten some good feedback because, like you said, I drastically misunderstood.
Who's it had good feedback from? Because it's had one of the weirdest rollouts that I've seen in a while. There's a dual embargo. So the people who received, yes, you know, those kits for like the first 50 devices. Yeah, well, they could. There's not a lot to talk about it, which is hilarious because if you're, you know, willing to brave Best Buy at whatever it is or whatever store, the demo units are up with the software on. So you could totally go into a Best Buy or something like that and just play with the shelf unit with its, you know, demo mode.
Interesting. So I, maybe not good reviews. It hasn't been terrible. Like, everybody talks about the price, but I personally didn't realize how in line that pricing actually was with all the other foldables. Because there was another one that...
So the pricing is in line with the form factor, but if you consider other foldables, it is still not up to spec for,
like,
for
a bunch of different things, right? All for,
Yep. So SoC, RAM, camera, all those things are behind. And even the battery is pretty small because it's such a thin device. I think you're looking at something, it's on the order of like 3600 milliamp hours in that battery versus going to, you know, like something that's a larger, thicker device like the Fold 2s or things that have come out recently.
True. I was impressed by the size, although like some of the reviewers said, it looks super wide. Like, I look like I'd have to stretch my fingers out to actually hold it because of the width.
Yeah. Not you, you'd be like a one-hander. Okay,
I could still hold it.
You know, like normal people. Yeah.
Because it was about the same height as the iPhone 11 Max, but it was definitely wider than the iPhone 11 Max.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Different devices for different things, but
yes, again, we'll, I am probably not the target market for that because I have no plans in buying that, or frankly any foldable for that matter, because I don't have a use for it. If I need something bigger, I'm going to take my iPad, and if I want something small, I don't want to have to fiddle with that. Or like, if you want to take a picture, having to take it out, like flip it all the way around to take a forward facing picture of my kids instead of a selfie, it's just not going to happen.
But again, that's unique to the Surface Duo. That was a design decision they made only to have that camera on the inside. Things like the Galaxy Z Flip or the Galaxy Fold, they do not have that issue because they have cameras on both the front and back.
Although, like you said, I think those are actually, which one came out, they announced this week, and it had a starting price of like $2,000.
That's the Fold 2. Yeah, the Galaxy Z Fold 2.
Yeah. Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email. Should we actually get into stuff we haven't talked about before as we rehash stuff we already talked about?
Yeah. What do you want to talk about? Vizio, AKS.
Lists. That have GA'd now in Teams.
Lists. I think it was announced just yesterday. So today is what? Today is November.
November.
Something.
Wow.
November.
You're somewhere
I don't even know.
In the future. September. Let's go back a couple months. Back it up.
Maybe I'm like projecting. I'm wishing it was already in November and
but
it's almost over.
But then you would have missed Ignite.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
I don't know. I could have gone back and watched it.
Okay,
video.
It's September 4th.
Yeah, so on September 3rd, they announced that all this stuff was GA'ing. So lists are GA'ing inside of Teams. And the interesting thing here, the part that I thought was really cool, when you think about like parity between the different clouds that are out there, like commercial clouds and sovereign clouds like GCC, things like that. They actually announced that it's coming to both commercial cloud and GCC at the same time. So awesome job. Congratulations, Liss and Teams team there getting it done. But the funnier thing is you still might be in a tenant that doesn't have Liss because it hasn't finished its global rollout
yet. Because now it's G8. Well, yeah, because it's GA'd. Both lists are GA'd in the Lists app, and Teams is G8, but both of them are going through, like you said, that global rollout. So technically you could have it in Teams and not in SharePoint, which means it wouldn't work in Teams, or you could have it in SharePoint, but you don't have the app in Teams. I have it in both places. I was surprised how long it took me. Like, I'm on the preview beta first release of everything, and some of the stuff around lists I didn't actually get in my preview environments until it GA'd. So, but I mean, Microsoft lists, I will give props to the marketing team for making SharePoint lists exciting again. How's that? Because I think we talked about this, but I hadn't had a chance to play with it yet. And if you go look at Twitter and all of that, you can figure this out pretty quickly. But Microsoft Lists really is nothing more than a page that was added underneath your My Site, old My Sites, OneDrive for Business, whatever you want to call that site. It's a new page that was added under that URL that pulls in a bunch of lists. And I have seen some people asking, how does it decide which lists to pull in and which lists not to pull in? I think it's based on activity, but frankly, I don't really know, because mine has been somewhat random at times in terms of what it will pull in from one day to the next. But really, it's just a page that pulls in a bunch of SharePoint lists. And if you click a Microsoft list, it goes to the SharePoint URL for that list, because it is just a SharePoint list. And all it does is it adds a little query string at the end of the URL to give it the new Microsoft Lists look and feel. If you go delete the queries...
Yeah, so you're navigating to that site where that list resides.
Yep. So if you go delete the query string off the end of the URL, go delete those 10 characters or whatever, you literally get your exact same... You're in your SharePoint site and your SharePoint list, and you would never know that Microsoft List was even a thing if you deleted that query string. On the flip side, you can go to any single SharePoint list in your environment, go paste that query string on the end of it, and you would think you jumped back into Microsoft Lists. A list is a list is a list when it comes to that, and Microsoft Lists are SharePoint lists with a new UI. You do have an option now, I think they call it My Personal Lists, to add like your own private personal lists. All this does is it goes and creates a SharePoint list in your SharePoint site that is your OneDrive for Business, which they've done a pretty good job at kind of disguising that UI, but all of us old SharePoint people know that OneDrive for Business is just another SharePoint site collection. So all Microsoft Lists is doing with your personal list is creating that list in your SharePoint site collection that is your OneDrive for Business. Same type of thing. You can go delete query strings. You can add query strings. You can go view your site contents of your My Site. And all of a sudden, all these lists will start, SharePoint lists will start showing up. So you still have all the same restrictions, like the 5,000 list item and a query and everything that a SharePoint list is before, a Microsoft list still is. It just has a new look and feel. Is been what I have come to the conclusion with all of my digging and playing with it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it manifests itself and if it can get away from that perception that it's just SharePoint lists with a effectively like new coat of paint. And they're going to have to add some features to it that SharePoint lists have never had and things like that, but we'll see. I think the more interesting thing there is diverging away from SharePoint lists, right? Like what if Microsoft lists become the thing, but they still live in SharePoint, kind of like you said, like OneDrive in Office 365 or Microsoft 365 tenants is in your My Site, right? It's not a separate consumer service coming from OneDrive, things like that. It's still SharePoint, yep, but it's called OneDrive. And now, you know, it's SharePoint lists, but they're not SharePoint lists. They're Microsoft lists because they should go into more of the ecosystem. And SharePoint kind of becomes that glue that holds it together, which is the way that stuff's been going for a long, long time.
Right. And we've seen it even with files. Like Teams files is just a SharePoint document library, and it kind of keeps going in circles. So, I don't know, 2013, 2016, everybody was all about SharePoint. And then for a while there, even in Office 365, the SharePoint name went away. And I think it was called Pages or something like that. And everybody kind of started seeing, hey, is SharePoint just kind of turning into this backend repository for things like lists and files and ASPX pages and all of that, and SharePoint and name is going to kind of go away, and it's just going to serve as this backend service for all these other Office 365 features. And then I think maybe it was about the time Jeff Tepper came back, and all of a sudden it got renamed back to SharePoint. And it was like, SharePoint's alive again, where everything got rebranded back to SharePoint. And I feel like now you're starting to see it flip back again, where it's like you have the Microsoft lists, you have Microsoft 365 groups, you have files and teams, and SharePoint's kind of falling back into the background a little bit more again, where it's serving up or storing the content that's driving all of these other Office 365 or Microsoft 365 services. I mean, you still have your pages, you still have like your hub sites and your communication sites, but more and more you show people, hey, you can go create these SharePoint sites and make them as a tab in Teams. And I feel like SharePoint's kind of, I don't know, not as much as it did before back in like the 2016-ish timeframe, but I feel like it's kind of starting to fade into the background a little bit more, going back to being just a repository for some of this stuff.
It's an entitlement that gives you access to these other things, right? It's, I don't think you can say it's going away until the day you walk in and like OneDrive and lists and some of these other things that live fundamentally inside of SharePoint become their own entitlements.
True.
then they're effectively like they are their own products and kind of split out there. You know, you might know, like, how do you get your email? Well, I go to Outlook to get my email. Well, that's Exchange, right? And that's been Exchange for a long time, and it will continue to be Exchange, I would imagine. Same kind of thing with these add-ons on SharePoint.
It's interesting to have watched the whole life cycle of the SharePoint product and all these things that, especially being in SharePoint since sometime in 2004-ish and starting with the 2003 product, is seeing how it's evolved over the last 16 years. Have I really been doing SharePoint for that long? Wow. Okay, enough reminiscing about how old I am and how long I've been dealing with this stuff. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. What else? Any other news? You had some news around. We're going to completely switch topics here.
Hold on. Before we get out of that one. In that vein, that these things may not be available in your tenant yet. That is certainly a truism here. If you're looking to at least kind of go through the motions and understand how lists are going to show up in your tenant, and you don't want to watch a video, you actually would like the ability to maybe like click stop on it and dive into it a little bit more. Microsoft did create a bunch of click-through demos for lists. So you can go and execute through a bunch of different scenarios. So one of the ones that they put they have a link to it in the blog post for the announcement for lists in Teams, but there's actually like three or four other ones that are out there. There's one, you know, just create a list through like the OneDrive experience. They have a click-through demo for creating a list from Excel, from existing lists, and also takes you through Quick Edit. So if you are looking to get potentially a little bit ahead of that, they do have a bunch of click-through demos that you can do yourself at your own pace over in the Microsoft Lists Resource Center. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Oh, and one other thing, because you got me looking at the blog post. The other thing you do get with lists, I will give you this, that you don't get with the SharePoint list, is they did add some templates there. So you can go create like an issue tracker list or an employee onboarding list, work progress tracker, that it's creating Microsoft Lists, SharePoint list templates, but those are only available through that lists interface. It's not like they rolled out new templates into SharePoint lists in terms of creating some of those. So I think they do some of the, they add in a bunch of stuff to like the column formatting and create some columns. And there is some other stuff kind of running in the background there to create those Microsoft list templates that you do only get through that template interface or the Microsoft Lists UI.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how those manifest. I thought I saw someone saying that when you create a Microsoft list, even though it is a list that lives in SharePoint, so one of the things that you might have done in the past was identified lists by like their template ID that they were created from. Yeah. So a task list versus a calendar, you know, versus a custom list. But I believe that all of the Microsoft lists that are spun up with their custom columns and row formatting and everything else, those are all custom lists as well. So you can't readily differentiate them from existing custom lists in your site if you're trying to do that like programmatically for parsing, or, you know, say you're trying to do some like discovery within your environment, you want to migrate a site or something and figure out where all the custom lists are. Enumerating that is, they'll show up as custom lists in SharePoint, and then you might have to do more spelunking from there to figure out, was it a custom list my users created, or was it a custom list that was instantiated through a Microsoft Lists template and then come up that way.
Yep, which does kind of make sense with the fact that it's only available through that lists format and that they aren't actually different templates in SharePoint.
Yeah, it doesn't affect you from the front end. It affects you from the back end for discovery. I would see, like I said, migration from like site to site migration and trying to make sure you understand everything that's in a site before you migrate it, so you can go talk to process owners and you know, make sure that you're grabbing the right things and only bringing over what you need to. That's one component of it. I think another is just general adoption. Like sometimes when you turn these things on, when you turn on Teams for the first time in your tenant, you not only allocate the licenses, but typically you want to track who's using it and what their usage is within that product. And, you know, list potentially falls into that same kind of thing, because it's not just about like the UI, but it's why are people choosing to go into this business? Why are people choosing to go into this product? You know, you want to be out with kind of getting the pulse of your organization and understanding, like, did they see it solving a business problem? Did it like magically integrate with Power Automate and Flow better for them? Like, what was the thing that drove them into kind of new shiny?
Right. The other thing I've used that for is let's say you have an issues list and internally you need an additional column on all of your issues lists, or some change to all of your issues list for internal processes or some type of compliance or legal things, I've used PowerShell to go find all of those lists and, to your point, programmatically add columns, update columns, remove columns, that type of stuff. And that could also pose a bit of a challenge when they're all just custom lists. Yeah, it'll be interesting to play with it more and continue to see where this evolves to. Okay. Are we done with lists now?
We can be done with this whenever you want to be done with this. So I'm going to make sure you get it all out of your system.
So that you don't have to listen to me talk about lists anymore. I don't think I have anything else about lists. I'm done with lists.
No?
Nothing about lists. Do you want to dive into your news announcement now to completely switch topics on our listeners or viewers?
We can stay in Office 365. Yeah. So did you see that it's not exactly new, but Microsoft has been updating the Visio stencils for things like Azure and Office services? No. You're getting the most kind of modern versions out there. But one of the nice things that they've done here is if you have your Visio online licenses, you can go to just visio.office.com, go into the template gallery. Like if you're somebody who works with Azure or Office 365, Microsoft 365, and you have to create things like architecture diagrams or kind of like overall depictions of your environments, even at like a super high level, just go into the Visio gallery and they've got a bunch of different diagrams in there all ready to go for you. So like the integrating on-premises Active Directory with Azure Active Directory, dev test deployments for certain things. They've got a retail and e-commerce site diagram. So there's a bunch of those. And then they all leverage these new shape sets. So I think there were 18 or 19 new shape sets on top of that.
Interesting. So I actually do have Visio on the web. So I just went in and yeah, I see them all here where I can go like Jenkins server on Azure is one of them I see in here. Dev test deployments, personalized marketing, decentralized trust between something. My text all chopped off. Azure OMS workspaces. Yeah. We've talked about those before. Ooh, Azure automation.
Anyway, could nice quick way to like if that's what you're doing is working with Azure stuff. Nice easy way to get.
So do you have the link too to go download all the updated stencils?
I can find it someplace. Yeah, it's on the download center. But
oh, it didn't work though. I chose one of them and I get no drawing. I'll blame my browser.
You ask for too much. And this is decidedly Microsoft specific. And maybe you do other things like you play with AWS or GCP or you're in like a multi-cloud environment. I don't know if you ever played around with some of that stuff and had to create diagrams for that. There's a nice little free diagramming service that has the latest, for the most part, diagrams for all those stencils for all those services as well, called CloudSkew. So I'll put a link to that one in the show notes because that's been kind of one of my go-tos on the side when you've got to do like Azure and AWS at the same time.
I've not done CloudSkew. I have used Lucidchart a lot in the past, which is also very nice.
The nice thing about CloudSkew is it just has all that stuff built into it. And then you can bring in, your SVGs or I think PNGs and make it do all the things that you would want it to
do. All that stuff. Yeah, Lucidchart had some of them built in, but I always liked theirs. I could go upload my own too. There you can go grab Visio stencil packs or any stencil packs that you can find and upload them and add your own stencils to Lucidchart. There's a lot of great diagramming options out there. But yeah, those are nifty. I see all the... Even though my drawing didn't come in, I do see all the new shapes out there in Visio. Very cool.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
What other Office 365 stuff do we have? Do we have any other Office 365 stuff?
I don't have anything else for Office 365. I think you are officially into the slow times as the ramp up for Ignite comes up.
Oh, which we could talk about. Registration is out.
The registration has opened. Yeah.
I registered the other day. Have you registered yet?
Not yet. But
yeah, it is free. It's much like, I think we talked about it because they started dripping out announcements, but it's much like Build. It's going to be a 48-hour nonstop conference, all virtual, all online, all free. So there is no reason not to sign up for Ignite this year. And we will be podcasting from our houses.
We will.
Yes. There's a new file sharing experience in Teams. I'm not going to go through these while we're talking. But yeah, it should be good. I registered. What conference was it that if you were like the first 1,000, you got free swag mailed to you? Was that build?
Well, it wasn't in, I mean, it wasn't just in the first 1,000. I don't know how they...
They decided because somehow you got swag and I did not.
Yeah, and I don't know how that was or what that...
And we have no idea about Ignite and if you're actually going to get swag, but if you register early, there's always a chance you might possibly. Unless they did it based on job title or some other metric.
I guess the question is, how many times do we have to register? And I guess we're just registering as regular people this year, not media.
I know. I'm sad. I feel kind of a letdown of that there's not media. Although I haven't emailed our contacts to see if there's still any media type stuff, but given...
You should.
I should, and I probably will. But given the format, I'm not thinking there's going to be... It's definitely not going to be like previous years from a media perspective.
Oh, I don't know. You should try it out and see. Right.
I will do that. That'll be my homework for the next week. And with that, we can probably wrap it up. Like you said, we're kind of in a little bit of a lull, slowdown. They're GA-ing a bunch of stuff because there's a whole bunch of stuff that they said they would release in the next year at Ignite last year. So it kind of has to GA before Ignite this year. And I think you said they're sunsetting a bunch of stuff and deprecating a lot of stuff because Ignite tends to be announcements and releases, which means a lot of stuff is hitting some end-of-life, life-cycle type things. So we're in that lull of a bunch of GAs, a bunch of deprecations, and we'll have to wait another 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks for Ignite.
Yep.
And then there will be a slew of new stuff we can talk about.
It's a couple. All right.
Well, thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Go enjoy the rest of your Friday and your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, 3-day weekend. Let's do it.
Enjoy the boat.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.